things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Just jibber jabbering away.
Not pressing play on anything.
Missing all the good content.
All the gossip.
I'm already, listen, we've already recorded the whole episode. We already made our way to the bright and shinies.
Welcome.
Welcome to A Little Bit Grim. My bright and shiny.
Uh-huh.
That nobody asked for.
I did.
Is that, well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
That Britt and I are going to Miami.
I'm so happy for you guys.
I know you're nervous, and I want you to... This is how manipulative we are as a friend group, okay? Brittany and I were whispering outside of the group chat.
I hate it.
And she was like, okay, but like, if you're booking the flights right now, we're like, we have to tell Taylor. Is Taylor going to panic? Is Taylor going to be mad? Does Taylor want to come? I want Taylor to come, but I know that Taylor's going to be on that very plan.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And there's not a plan. This is an anti-plan vacation.
This is a specifically non-plan vacation.
I want no part of it.
Brittany and I were just like daydreaming about it because I was talking about this trip that me, Ian, and Theo are taking.
Yeah.
And it is the first vacation I am taking with a child as not being a child.
I'm scared.
Don't worry. It's Ian's there. It's good.
That's true. Okay. All right.
It's
all right.
Good.
You're not outnumbered.
No. No, no, no.
And when it's one-on-one, you're still outnumbered.
Am I?
With a child?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't, listen, I got like really whipped into like stepmom shape real quick.
Okay. I think aunt to nephew, outnumbered.
Yes.
Friend to child, outnumbered. Mom to child, even playing ground. Stepmom to child, even playing ground.
Yeah.
It's like a whole tiered system.
It is a whole tiered system. And it's really interesting to see, here we are to like child psychology. It's really interesting to see his behavior change.
Uh-huh.
Depending on, I call like us group of humans, his grown-ups.
Okay.
I feel like parents and step-parents and like all that, because I grew in a non-nuclear family. So mm-hmm. I think it can be exclusionary.
Yeah.
So I just try to call us like his grown-up team.
Aww,
or whatever.
I love that.
It's always interesting to see his behavior change depending on which adult
he's talking to.
Mm-hmm. And then it changes when there's like different combinations of adults. Because it's like very different when it's like me and his mom.
Yeah.
Versus like me and his dad or me and his quote-unquote stepdad on the other side. It's just
interesting.
It's very interesting.
Hmm.
No, I really am putting my doctorate in child behavior analysis to good work over here.
You're doing a good job.
Anyway, the whole point was me saying that I'm very excited about this trip to Miami.
I'm very excited for you guys.
Taylor's already laid down the ground rules.
Yep.
We're sharing location 24/7.
Truly, that's all I need. And I will also be in Florida.
That's true.
Not in Miami.
No, but you're only going to be like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Leave it to us.
To plan a vacation.
To separately plan a vacation and still be in the same date, same state at the same date.
We cannot be separated. Don't try.
No, even when we try to separate, we can't.
No. Uh-uh. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
But I am so excited for you guys to do nothing but lay on a beach for like 4 days. I would be bored to tears.
You would be miserable?
I would be miserable. And not because of the company. Like, I love to have a plan. I love to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, activities.
Uh-huh.
And that is not our friend Brett. She loves to just bask in the sun like the little sun child that she is.
Yep.
I would fry up into a crisp within 4 to 6 hours. And then I would be completely useless.
This is why the tribe works. Because I like both of those things. I need a balance of doing nothing on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing stuff.
Activities.
But like when we do activities, I don't plan the activities.
Mm.
You are the planner.
I like to plan the activities.
I'm the follower.
Yeah.
And then Brittany.
You know when we're leaving and when we're coming home. When I plan the activities.
I just know the essential information that you give to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that I need.
Yeah.
I just need the skeleton.
It made me feel like really warm and fuzzy to get the text message that was like, we're doing this thing. Like, do you want to go? Does this sound like your worst nightmare? Does this sound like a good time to you? And, like, I had no, like, qualms or, like, weird feelings about being like, absolutely, this does not sound like fun to me. You guys have fun. I love you both. Goodbye.
Taylor literally texted us back and was like, it sounds like my worst nightmare. I will not be joining you, but have a great time.
I love you both.
Love you both so much. Please leave me out of this.
And, like, I remember being, like, in my early 20s and really, like, I would have had a really hard time with that.
Yeah.
And being like, my friends are hanging out without me. Or not feeling like I can say, I don't want to do that.
The ability to say no.
Right. Yeah. And like, and have it be okay.
And have it be okay with yourself.
Yeah. So it was just really like a nice, warm, like, moment where I was like, everything is fine. There's nothing that's wrong here. There's mm-hmm. nothing that's bad here. It's all just, this is like adult friendship.
It's healthy. It is cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I... As much as people like to tell us, we are not codependent.
No, we're not.
We're not.
Leave
don't,
us alone.
Don't tell us we're codependent.
Don't come for me.
We're not.
We are very well independently rounded women. Thank you.
We are, but like the three of us together is just like stronger.
Yeah.
I strongly feel like we should have Britt do like a guest episode on the podcast.
I think she would be a bomb on a conspiracy episode.
Oh, I think so too.
She truly believes in a lot of conspiracies. Like, listen. No, we need to get her in here of what is it, the one that the Kennedys?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. All right.
Or DMT. She loves talking. She can talk about DMT for hours. Yes. Yeah.
We're going to have to get a third microphone.
Speaking of, this is a conspiracy episode.
Oh, shit. It is.
Yes, it is. And Brittany is not here, but.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy
New Year. We have gotten ourselves so tangled.
Oh, my God.
So tangled today.
This isn't even the hour conversation we had, like, before this.
Yeah. In the last hour.
Yeah.
God. I love that this is our friendship nights, though. Like, what do you guys, like, when people are like, what do you do for fun? I'm like, well, I hang out with my friend Jenny, and we talk into microphones for a really long time, and we put a lot of work into it.
We do a lot of effort and research to hang out. We are now finding ourselves in the predicament that we have to, like, schedule non-podcast friend time.
Yes. Yeah. Which it's an interesting dilemma to have.
It is an interesting, because, like, this fills my friend cup. Too.
Yeah.
It's just different.
It is. Like, this has an agenda.
Yes.
And, like, friend time doesn't normally have an agenda.
Oh, look, it's planned friendship. You know Taylor has a hand in that.
I love it.
Once again, I'm just along for the ride.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Conspiracies. Welcome to 2021.
Yeah, thank God. Hopefully everybody yelled Jumanji last night, and we have found ourselves in a bright, new, shiny place of existence.
Oh, bright, new, shiny place, you say?
That is the hope.
Oh, that is a direct tie-in, but you know what? You go first today.
I do, and I have a doozy for you.
Ooh, okay.
I wish you could hear...
That is fat.
The fatty, fat book report that
give
I
us,
have for
give
you.
Give us a wallop. Wow.
I don't know if that really came off over audio, but my book report for you today is 10 pages long. So. Oh,
this is the worst ASMR channel I've ever seen.
Malaysian Airlines Flight 370.
You know I haven't.
Okay, great, because I'm going to tell you everything you need to know.
I know next nothing about Malaysia or Malaysian adjacent things.
I did not either until this book report.
Okay.
Okay. Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 was a Boeing 777. The capital city of Malaysia is Kuala Lumpur.
Ooh.
And MH370 departed from Kuala Lumpur International Airport at 12:41 a.m. on March 8th, 2014.
That is a late flight.
Yes. What is it? Red eye? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was going to be a flight that was about 5 hours and 40 minutes long, and it would land in Beijing at about 6:30 a.m. that morning.
A five-hour flight?
5 hour, 40 minutes.
A 6 hour. I know that is not the point, but that just made me realize I have no idea what the globe looks like.
Time zones.
I really thought that.
I love flying. I hate figuring out where I'm going to be at what point. I'm just like, I'll get there when I get there.
Time's not real.
Don't know what time it'll be.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it'll land in Beijing at 6:30 in the morning. It was a super regular flight. So they actually made 60 flights from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing every week.
Oh.
And then the same number back. So about 120 flights a week, back and forth. They did two a day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Regular.
Okay. Two a day.
Yeah.
A lot more than two a day.
Well, two a day there and then two a day back.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
Somewhere the math makes sense.
Stop trying to make us do math.
Yeah. There were 227 passengers on board and 12 crew. The plane was not full by any means. There were about 72 empty seats on the plane. And the pilot was a man named Zahari Ahmad Shah, and the co-pilot was Abdul Hamid. Shah was about 50, was about, he was 53 years old.
Roundabouts.
Roundabouts, 53. and he had 18,000 flying hours under his belt, so he was very experienced.
Wow.
His passion was flying, and he had a flight simulator installed in his home.
What?
Yeah. Man was serious about flying.
Take a freaking day off, bud.
No can do. Hamid had been recently disciplined for bringing a few female passengers into the cockpit with him during a flight, which is a huge no-no.
Buddy!
Absolutely not.
That makes me V-stressed.
Yes. So he was disciplined for that.
Sure.
And then once he paid his debt, I don't know what that was, he was able to fly again.
Pay his debt to society.
Yeah. Less than an hour into the flight, the plane diverted from course. At 1:07 a.m., one of the plane's communication systems, called ACARS, sends out a transmission that shows normal routing all the way to Beijing. Nothing out of the ordinary was planned for the flight.
Okay.
So this ACARS system sends out a transmission every half an hour to the air traffic control to let them know, like, they're still on track to make it on time.
Okay.
At 1:19 a.m., someone in the cockpit, and we assume it's the co-pilot Hamid, made a voice check-in with air traffic control. The plane was leaving a Malaysian airspace and entering Vietnamese airspace, and the communication was, "All right, good night," which ended up being the final words from the cockpit.
Ooh.
The phrase "good night" is the radio parlance used by pilots when executing a handover from one airspace to the other. So says Richard Quest, who is the CNN aviation and airline correspondent. And he says, "This is normal. This happens a gazillion times. All right, good night is a pleasantry at the end of radio communication." So although it sounds a little bit
like farewell.
Yes, it's really not.
Okay.
At 1:21 a.m., the transponder in the plane shuts off. The transponder is the gadget that tells air traffic control who's, like, what plane it is that's going by.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a signature for this specific plane. So the radar will still pick up a plane that's in the airspace, but it just won't say whose the airplane belongs to.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Turning off a transponder is as easy as turning off a switch in the cockpit.
Okay.
At 1:22 a.m., the plane disappears from Thai military radar. At 1:28, Thai military radar picks up a blip from the radar, but because the transponder is off, it doesn't know what plane it is and is thus labeled unidentified. Between 1:21 and 1:28, the plane seems to have changed course. At 1:30 a.m., civilian radar loses contact with the plane.
Mm.
There is supposed to be a transmission every 30 minutes from that first gadget we talked about.
Yeah.
So that should have happened at 1:37, but nothing came through. The ACARS transmitter is more difficult to turn off than the transponder, and according to Richard Quest, this takes a lot of know-how to turn that thing off. So at this point, somebody with a lot of experience would have had to turn that off.
Okay.
Or it was damaged. At 2:15 a.m., military radar tracked the plane as it passed over a small island of Pualu Perek in the Strait of Malacca. At this point, the plane is hundreds of miles off course.
Oh.
It is then believed to have either turned northwest toward the Bay of Bengal or southwest elsewhere into the Indian Ocean.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, at this point, from Malaysia to Beijing, it should be going northeast.
Okay.
It makes a U-turn and goes to the left, takes a U-turn, and then it turns left again. So now it's going west instead of north.
What?
Yeah. At 2:40 a.m., Malaysian air traffic control contacts Malaysian Airlines and lets them know that their plane is missing. Between 2:40 and 3:45 a.m., Malaysia begins a preliminary search for the plane. At 3:45 a.m., Malaysia Airlines issues the code red alert that the plane was missing from radar. A code red is declared when a crisis requires immediate deployment of emergency response planes. Malaysia said it took about an hour to issue the alert because it was trying to locate the plane and confirm that it was indeed missing.
So they thought it was just, like, lost or, like, a communication issue? Yes. Okay. They didn't think the plane, like, went down.
They don't know.
They don't know. Okay.
They just took an hour to do anything.
Oh, you're just dilly-dallying?
Yes.
Okay.
To verify, it used various measures, including sending messages to the plane and awaiting responses. So if your communication is down, like, obviously you're not going to get anything back from the plane, but they just kept trying.
Like, if your phone's dead, you're not going to keep trying to turn it on.
Right, but that's what they kept doing.
Okay.
At 6:30 a.m., the flight was supposed to have landed in Beijing, but of course did not land. At 7:24 a.m., Malaysia Airlines makes a public statement that the plane is missing. At 8:11 a.m., the then Prime Minister of Malaysia revealed that a satellite tracked the plane at 8:11 a.m., more than 7 hours after takeoff.
What?
Yeah. He didn't provide details on the satellite that tracked this information, but it appears that the orbiters high above the ocean detected the plane as the satellite or satellites attempted a series of handshakes or electronic connections with the plane. So one of the issues in this entire case is that all the nations that get involved are very secretive. They don't want other nations to know how good their satellites are.
Oh.
So they don't want to reveal the information that they have.
Ew.
Gross.
Okay, but there's, like, a plane missing.
Fucking ew. But that's how it went. Nobody wanted to reveal their...
Somebody's like, oh, my satellite just said there was a plane. I don't know anything else about it.
Exactly. Yep.
What? Okay.
At this point, we know that the plane went off course and was headed west when it should have been going north.
Mm-hmm.
So it was going north when it took a U-turn, like I said, and headed southwest-ish, and then it took another left turn and did a kind of a bend around the city of Penang before heading straight and then poof, disappearing forever.
Okay. Were they over a body of water?
Yes. Okay. So the, like, Malaysia, I think, is like, it kind of reminded me of Florida.
Oh, like a peninsula.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, it left the, like, over land, and then it was over the sea, and then when it turned around, it went back over Malaysia, and then it was over the sea again.
Okay.
So, it had enough fuel to get to Beijing, plus about an hour and a half of fuel on top of that in the case of an emergency.
Okay.
China was actually the first to break the news of the missing plane, and Malaysia was slow to respond, which made the families of those on board super pissed.
It's a little sus.
Yes. And there were videos of people throwing water bottles at the officials delivering the news, and it was vague and unhelpful news at that. Their statement was, there have been speculations that the aircraft has landed in Nanming. We are working to verify the authenticity of those reports and others.
What?
And they knew full well that they had not landed anywhere.
Oh. Why are they lying?
They don't know where the plane is. How do you lose this Boeing 777? So they're just trying to cover their tracks.
Why are you taking a Boeing 747 5 hours? Those are, like...
They're giant.
Yeah. Aren't those, like, huge international, like, 14, 15-hour flight planes?
That's what I thought. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
I know nothing about planes.
I don't either.
Okay.
Everything I know about planes is in here.
I know how to go through security and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, around 1:30 that morning, Vietnamese aviation sees what they think is MH370 heading west. They contacted Malaysian authorities twice to let them know, but it took days to hear anything back from Malaysia.
What?
Yeah.
What is Malaysia doing?
They were just like, bro, we think we saw your plane. And Malaysia was like, what? I can't hear you.
Well, probably no. Probably what plane, though?
Which plane are you talking about? Which missing plane?
I've never seen a plane before in my life.
Yeah. If the pilots needed to land, there were 634 suitable runways within the vicinity that would have been long enough to accommodate a 777.
So, oh, 777.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we take away some of those airports or landing strips that, like, are mountainous areas and stuff like that, it does diminish that number, but it still leaves them, like, a good hearty number of...
Do planes land in mountainous areas?
But apparently, I don't know why there are all of these air strips hanging out in this area of the world, but there are.
I feel very concerned about that.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I know nothing about planes,
Jake. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Okay. The search to find MH370 was the largest and most expensive search in aviation history. There were 19 ships and 345 military aircraft that were used to search for an area the size of Canada.
Whoa. Hold on, wait. So are these like various countries?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody is searching for this plane because the passengers were from all over the world.
Oh, sure.
So there
everybody's
were,
invested.
Yeah. There were like a handful of Australians. There was a group of Chinese artists that had just had like a art gallery opening.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, it was. There were pictures of them like having their last night in Malaysia. And then there's pictures of them like at the airport, like saying goodbye, like ready to head home. There was, I think, an American couple that was one half of this partnership was in Malaysia, like getting ready to come home. And I think his girlfriend was like packing. They were getting ready to move. And she was like kind of giving him a hard time, like, I really wish I had somebody here with me to help me pack. Like, haha. And she, he was like, babe, I'm on my way. Like, can't wait to see you. I will give you a neck rub when I get home. You've done so much. I love you. And that's the last text message that anybody has from Malaysia flight MH370.
Oh.
And that's when they boarded the plane. So when he said, I love you, they think that that's when the notice went out. Like, turn off your cell phones.
Can somebody explain to me why the fuck we have to do that?
I can hazard a guess. I don't know if it's true. I think it's to do with the, like, cockpits and the transponders and stuff. Like, it's your cell phone's trying to find a tower.
Yeah.
And so it's sending out messages to try to find a tower.
Well, you're telling me, like, that you can't nail down a communication system, like, so steadfast that, like, my Sprint cell phone
could fuck up an airplane?
Right.
Oh, my God. My husband will absolutely lose his shit if somebody is on an airplane and, like, doesn't put their cell phone on airplane mode the moment somebody says, like, time to power down your devices.
Really?
He has flight anxiety. You're on flights. I'm like, you need to simmer down. And he's like, no, I'm going to call the flight attendant over.
Oh, my God. He's like, you're going to kill us all.
Yes.
Ryan.
Sweet angel. Oh, I have to, like, give him a couple Xanax to make him chill.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. However, after the day after the disappearance, many search planes were seen just sitting on tarmacs waiting for the go-ahead from the government to start searching.
Oh.
Because this is such, like, international news. News crews were there filming. Like, what the fuck is happening here? All these planes are just sitting. Like, their engines are running.
Not doing anything.
Not doing anything to search for this plane.
Okay.
The search went on for years.
Years?
Yes.
How have I not heard of this?
I had never heard of this.
Okay. Okay.
In 2016, some debris was found. A suitcase, a Chinese water bottle, and an Indonesian cleaning product were found off the coast of Australia.
What?
Yeah.
What make... Okay.
Apparently Malaysia and Australia are, like, close together.
I need a... Hold on.
We need a globe in here.
Ooh, I would love to have, like, a cool aesthetic globe.
But we also need to be able to read it.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me just get up. Man,
I
never...
Can we get a glow-in-the-dark globe?
Cool.
Let's do that.
Okay. I've never felt more like an uneducated American. And what are we talking about? Myanmar? Malaysia. Malaysia.
They gotta be, like, on the same hemisphere, right?
Yeah.
No.
Hemispheres.
No. No. Just kidding. What if... Taylor, edit this out. You sound stupid.
We both... Oh, they are close.
Are they?
Yeah, sure.
Close-ish?
Close-ish. Okay, I can see what you're saying. Malaysia is kind of like a peninsula.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Perfect. We can't be the only uneducated ones out there. We will post a picture of where Malaysia is on a globe. Please don't leave us mean comments for trying to learn.
Somebody else left us a 2-star review.
Were they mad?
No, they didn't leave any comments. It's just an additional 2-star review.
Oh, okay.
Oh. If you're going to leave us mean reviews, at least be funny. You know the rules.
Listen, if you're going to leave us like less than 5 stars. That is cool. I want you to explain yourself.
It can't be anonymous.
No, it's the same reason I talk to my a 5-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Where I'm like, you can disagree, but please explain yourself.
Right. If you don't like the swearing, let us know.
I just want to know why. Is it my personality? I bet it is.
I doubt it. I have my doubts. Okay. No, 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 no. Some aviation debris. Some aviation debris was also found, and after many tests was conclusively said to come from MH370.
How do they know conclusively?
There was a serial number.
Oh.
On, I think it was like part of a wing that they found.
Okay. Yeah. That
so
would...
it wasn't like a scrap. Like it was like a big piece of a plane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long after?
In 2016. So, 2 years.
Like, a piece of a plane is just still floating around in the ocean? You expect me to believe that?
We're about to get into about 18 conspiracies.
Okay.
Cool. Of this plane.
You believe in the moon, bro?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the official search was called off in 2017. And we have, to this day, not recovered the plane.
What?
They don't know where it's at.
Okay.
And all that we have are these, like, I mean, yeah, we have large-ish pieces of a plane, but nowhere near the whole plane. We have enough to say that this came from this aircraft, but not anything that is, you know, worth anything, really.
Somewhere the writers from Lost are like, ha-ha!
I know!
Vindicated.
I know. Yes. Okay, so my conspiracies are kind of gonna go in order from, like, what I think are, like, least possible with the lesser amounts of, like, detail to the most probable.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, aliens. Duh.
Always aliens.
Just, like, snatched that boy right out of the sky.
That was what my brain was already working on.
Yeah.
That, like, a UFO interfered with their communication system. They didn't know where they were going, and then they got bloop, bloop, and now they're in space.
See, my thought when it comes to aliens is, we've talked about this, aliens don't put shit back where they found them.
Never, ever.
So, but they do put it back.
But just, like, hundreds of miles away. And all topsy-turvy. It's like when you play pin the tail on the freaking donkey.
Right, but we should have found the plane at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
And aliens, guaranteed, have way more sophisticated technology than a Boeing 777.
Okay.
So, like, the argument saying they want our technology, that's fucking bullshit. Like, they don't care about our technology. You know?
Maybe. But okay, so
they're not like, a flying craft?
Let's figure out how it works.
No.
Here's what I think. But, like, there are sketches from Da Vinci and his flying machine that are worth, like, millions and millions and millions of dollars because they're a part of, like, history.
Oh, so you think that they were just like, history, grab it.
I think they were like, ooh, an artifact.
Okay, like, that's fair. That's a good point.
I have an idea about aliens that they're actually us, more evolved, like,
millions. From the future.
From the future. And they're time traveling back to see how the fuck we are doing what we're doing.
Oh, that's a good point. All right. I would buy into that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have for aliens.
Okay.
Okay. Number two. The pilot had a secret lover. Shaw and his wife.
Okay.
I told you, it gets wild and then it's gonna get, like, serious again.
Okay.
Were actually, like, in reality having troubles. They were definitely on a rocky patch, and because they were Muslim, it would have been really difficult for them to get a divorce.
Sure, sure.
Some believe that Shaw put the plane on autopilot and then left the inexperienced co-pilot to just figure it out, which obviously he couldn't do, and just, like, parachuted off into an island and now lives somewhere with his secret lover.
Oh.
Meh.
Mm.
Far-fetched.
I believe the alien theory more than that, but okay.
I agree. Okay. Insurance scam.
Okay.
The Malaysian police chief started this fucking one.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And he said, maybe somebody there on the flight who bought a huge sum of insurance, who wants the family to gain from it, or somebody who owes somebody so much money did this, insinuating that someone on board may have tampered with the plane or something in order to make it crash so their family would get insurance payout.
This is the most elaborate insurance fraud I have ever heard proposed in my entire life.
Right. And, like, I just think that if that was the case, we still would have found the plane.
Correct. It wouldn't be washing up in bits and pieces year after year. And also, I feel like when people do insurance fraud like that to, like, take their own life so somebody else gets a payout, mm-hmm. it, as twisted and messed up as it is, it's like an act of charity.
Yeah.
And I don't think somebody in that position would take out
239 other people.
Other people. Right.
Yeah. I will dismiss this one.
Okay.
North Korea took the plane. North Korea is super secretive, and Kim Jong-un could be responsible for hijacking and taking the plane for research and technology advancements.
How?
A Boeing 777 would be the perfect plane for that. In fact, North Korea hijacked a plane from South Korea for that very purpose in 1969.
They did?
Yes.
Why are they so sus?
Be careful. I don't want to get kidnapped by North Korea.
Do you ever wonder? Hold on. I'm about to go on a conspiracy theory from your conspiracy.
I love it. Now's the time.
You know how we all talk about how, like, the people who live in North Korea, like, know nothing about the outside world because they're so
indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm. Do you wonder if America is like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I wonder if like actually outside.
Yeah.
That we are the North Korea of the world right now, and people are like, I feel bad for the Americans.
They do.
Like, well, I mean, we're not like, we're not in the best of conditions.
No, we're not. Currently. Did you know Canadians got $2,000 a month from their government during the pandemic? And America really went, you can live off of $1,200 for a year?
You'll be fine.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
When was the last time America was like actually really good at something?
The moon landing, if it happened.
This is a conspiracy episode after all.
Listen, I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know the answer to it either. Like, in our lifetime, we're 30.
Yeah.
And like, we all we've seen is like two economic crashes, the two twin towers, a failed revitalization of Desert Storm,
uh-huh,
a pandemic, housing market crash, time after time, the American government has continued to fail its people. And I'm just like,
mm-hmm. I saw a video, it was a TikTok, I'm not going to lie, the other day about this girl being like, do you ever realize that the American, like, narrative is very similar to gaslighting? And it's like, you're the best country in the world, you're the best country in the world, you're the best country in the world. And like, when somebody's like, no, we're not, everybody around you is like, yes, we are. And then you're afraid to say anything because you don't want to get shot at by your family.
I read something that was very short and very poignant the other day.
Uh-huh.
That was like the leader class instigates a race war,
mm-hmm.
to prevent a class war.
Ah. Oh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Let that sink in. And then finish telling me, tell me more about this plane. I gotta know.
All right. So there's the possibility that North Korea took it and still has it. And they're keeping everybody on board as hostages.
Can you imagine they're still on the plane? They just live there now?
That would be terrible.
Probably the nicest housing they have to offer.
There's probably not enough first class seats for everybody. It's like the Titanic. Okay. In another, like, adjacent topic is just hijacking in general.
Okay.
It's theorized that a number of other countries could have wanted to take the plane for something and hijacked it. There were two passengers identified that got on the plane with stolen passports.
Oh.
So they have, like, CCTV footage of two people getting on the plane that do not match the ethnicity of, or the race of, the passport.
Okay.
And their, like, names didn't match. And then, like, later, the two people who had those passports were like, no, man, we're still, I'm alive. I just, like, my passport got stolen a few months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a little sus.
Yeah.
Okay.
A few international news outlets reported that an unknown terrorist organization hijacked the plane, but no groups came forward to take responsibility. So that's kind of what makes me think it's not a terrorist organization. Because they'll normally take responsibility for something this because sensational.
They have an agenda, yes, for doing things.
Right. And that's part of this, is that there's just no motive. And there's never a motive. We cannot find a motive.
Or the motive has been buried so deep.
Yeah.
That they're trying to hide the point of the motive. So we create conspiracy and crazy. It mm-hmm. was aliens.
Yeah.
When it was really...
a government.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also the possibility of a cyber hijacking. So after 9/11, some larger planes like the Boeing 777 were equipped with technology that would allow ground control to take over the plane and fly it remotely.
Oh.
And
like a drone?
Yes.
Okay.
Like this Boeing 777 had installed. So they think that it's possible somebody on the ground could have taken over the plane.
That would probably give credence as to why Malaysia was so unwilling to speak out about it.
Right.
Because they didn't want to admit fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In 2014, the Prime Minister of Malaysia said, clearly Boeing and certain agencies have the capability to take over uninterruptible control of the commercial airliners, of which MH370B77 is one.
Mm.
So the Malaysian authorities even pointed to this.
Okay.
Next up, we have spoofed satellite data. So technology writer Jeff Wise developed a theory in which the aircraft's controls were taken over by hijackers from Electronics and Equipment Bay, which can be assessed through a hatch in the floor of the first class cabin.
Oh.
Wise theorizes that one of the satellite pings deliberately laid false trail, creating a feed the plane created by feeding the plane's satellite communications system false data. So the map we have that shows where the plane went is fake, is what this theory is saying.
What?
So it's saying it led a bread trail that went to nowhere, and the plane actually went somewhere else.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I could see that. Somebody intentionally laid like a confusing path.
Yes. Okay. And they can do that physically in the first first class cabin.
What?
Yeah.
Like Hansel and Gretel style.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
This caused the system to make false frequency corrections, and this theory would eventually lead investigators to conclude the plane was headed south when, according to Wise's theory, it was actually flying north and possibly landed at Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan.
A cosmodrome?
Manuel. That's a place.
Okay. That sounds like a conspiracy in and of itself.
Yeah. Okay. Next up.
Okay.
We have the Freescale staff, like a company.
Okay.
A variety of social media posts and email chain letters claim that a patent was approved days after the disappearance of MH370. The right to the patent was split five ways, 20% to Freescale Semiconductor, a company. And 20% each to four employees.
What?
Each four was on the plane.
What?
Retired Delta Airlines captain Fred McConnell claimed that the aircraft was seized to obtain stealth knowledge of classified patents from 22 Chinese employees of U.S.-based Freescale. McConnell also claims that the company has developed a classified technology that uses paint and electronics to enable traditional aircraft to be overhauled into stealthy jets.
What?
So that's what the patent was that these people had
turning
on this plane
that they were flying on.
Poof. Yes.
Whoa.
I know. I'm telling you, it's fucking wild. This whole thing is wild.
Okay. I picked that one. That's the one that happened.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
All right. Next is a place called Diego Garcia. Have you ever heard of this place?
He sounds like a character in a romance novel.
Okay. True. It's not.
Okay.
It's an island.
Oh.
Diego Garcia is an island off the British Indian Ocean territory.
Okay.
It is an overseas territory of the United States.
Huh?
How have we never heard of this?
Why don't we have it? Like, why don't we
know? It's a military base.
Oh, for fluff's sake.
It is a militarized atoll just south of the equator in the central Indian Ocean. Some believe that MH370 was either captured by the United States and then flown to the military base on Diego Garcia, or the plane landed at the base directly after being instructed to travel there.
Oh.
A former French airline, I have written boss. I was very tired. a former French airline boss.
Okay.
has claimed...
CEO, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know, man. Okay, he claimed that the flight was shot down by the U.S. military near the base at Diego Garcia.
I mean, if it's an airplane and we can't get a read on what kind of aircraft it is because somebody turned that little thing off,
mm-hmm.
I could see the American government reacting in a hostile manner.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My next paragraph is a little bit long with a lot of places that I can't really pronounce very well, but I'm going to do my dang best.
Okay.
In an article published 10 days after the flight disappeared, journalist Fahara Ahmed and Ahmed Naif of the Moldavian newspaper Haviru? Haviru. Yeah.
Havana? Okay. Cuba?
No.
Okay.
There's definitely a V.
Okay. Havana has a V.
I'm sorry. It's H-A-V-E-E-R-U. Haviru.
Okay.
Right?
That's certainly not Havana.
I don't know why I'm asking you. You don't know either. That was extremely mean. I apologize.
We're two blank sounding boards.
Okay. Several residents of Kuda Huvadihu. Okay, I don't know.
I love that. I loved that.
Okay. So here's what happened.
In summation.
I'm throwing my notes away.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so there was an island that is near the Maldives.
Okay.
And a bunch of people who live on this island saw a giant fucking plane, like, way too close to the ground. And they all looked up and they were like, that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made this report. And so this newspaper was like, this plane probably went down right around this area because a bunch of the people who lived on this island saw it.
Aha. Okay.
Okay.
Did they do anything about the report?
Probably not.
Okay.
Let me see.
All signs point to hell no.
Yeah. Somebody said, I've never seen a jet flying so low over our island before. We've seen seaplanes, but I'm sure that this is not one of those. I could even make out the doors and the doors on the plane clearly.
Whoa, that's close to the ground.
Right. And he said, it's not just me either. Several other residents have reported seeing the exact same thing. Some people got out of their homes to see what was causing the tremendous noise. And some of the debris that was later found was only about 1,475 miles away from Diego Garcia.
In the 1,000 miles?
Yeah, which I mean...
That sounds incredibly far.
Yeah, but like in... Like, the ocean, like, you can go 1,000 miles in, a few years, you know? Like, this is years later.
Okay.
But.
We're talking about, like, currents.
Yes.
And, okay, got it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
It didn't, like, get swept up by the wind on a desert and, like, have to roll on itself.
I'm stupid.
I think that's what this episode is saying, is that we both are uneducated.
Why don't pieces of planes sink?
I don't know.
Okay. That's all.
There's a mathematician that comes in later that tries to explain some of this.
Okay, awesome. Good. I'm going to hold out for him.
He's at the very end.
Or her.
I think it's a him.
Okay.
All right. World's greatest mystery. So this one's kind of up there in the list of like, meh. But some believe that the pilot or co-pilot wanted to create the world's greatest mystery by making the plane disappear.
Oh, just for funsies?
Yeah, just for kicks.
Okay.
The basis for this is seemingly the purposeful transponder being turned off, as well as the flight path once it went off course. It was flying along two airspaces, so the other one may have just thought that the plane belonged to the other airspace.
Okay.
That's all I got for that one.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I don't think that one has a whole lot of credence.
I don't either, but it came up in a lot of the articles that I read, and I didn't want people to think that I didn't do my research.
Okay.
Cracks in the plane. Less than a week before...
I'm sick of these motherfucking cracks on this motherfucking plane.
What?
Snakes on a plane?
I've never seen it.
Oh my god. It's a classic.
Is it?
Oh, it's so good. It's not. It's so
okay. Bad. All right. That's what I thought.
Okay. It is a bunch of snakes on a plane, though.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right. Less than a week before the plane disappeared, Malaysia Airlines found a 15-inch crack in the fuselage of one of the other Boeing 777 planes.
Ooh.
The Federal Aviation Administration insists it issued a final warning 2 days before the disappearance to check all remaining jets.
Uh-oh.
However, Boeing said that this did not apply to MH370 because that specific plane had a different antenna or something. Don't believe it.
Just check your freaking plane, bud.
Right. This is a very expensive plane. I feel like you should check it.
Also, it carries people with lives.
Right.
But sure, the financial investment. Well, yes.
Listen, trying to talk corporate America. Like, we value the dollar over an American life.
You sound so capitalist right now. Real.
All right, so if there was a crack, it could have led to depressurization of the plane.
Okay.
So we're going to get into a whole depressurization theory now.
This feels really great because in the real world, I'm getting on a plane in 2 days.
You're welcome.
So awesome. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about a ghost plane or a zombie plane. Now, this is the one I believe. This is what I think happened.
Oh, was it a ghost plane?
Yes.
It came up and it was like, woo! And it scared the plane into the ocean?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
No. Okay. In an airplane, the cabin is pressurized with oxygen, which is what lets us live through this experience of flown across the world.
Yeah.
If the cabin depressurizes and oxygen levels go down far enough, it can knock people unconscious within moments and kill a person within 15 minutes.
What?
Yeah. So if there was a crack in the plane, it could have caused
depressurization. Is that what they tell you? Like, please secure your own mask before assisting others.
Yes.
Cool.
The cockpit is insulated a little bit from this. So if the cabin depressurizes, the captain and co-pilot might not know about it right away.
Okay.
If they think that Shaw might have been on break and the co-pilot was the only one in the cockpit, so they think that Shaw might have been taken out with the rest of the passengers, and then because the less experienced pilot was the one left on board, he didn't know what to do.
Oh.
Which, I don't know. I just don't know if they're going to let, like, a co-pilot panic like that. You know, like, you shouldn't be flying a Boeing 777 if you're going to panic.
Well, correct. And I feel like to even be a co-pilot, you really need to be right there on par with the pilot, especially for flying a Boeing.
Right.
And I don't know.
Listen, this might be ageist of me, and that is just fine. I'm sorry. I do not trust a 27-year-old to fly a plane.
Don't fly Allegiant.
I'm going to fly
Okay,
are they babies?
So there is like a direct correlation between pay scale for pilots and the amount of hours required, I believe. There is like a federal jurisdiction for the minimum requirement of hours.
Okay.
I saw you.
I'm scared.
Visibly shudder.
I'm scared. Okay, it's fine. I'm just not going to tell my husband any of this or else he will not get on the plane.
I hope he's not listening to this episode.
He doesn't.
Okay, good.
He doesn't. I can guarantee you that.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
All right.
Like, I don't know. I'm just making shit
up. I know that Allegiant is a very cheap airline to fly. And
listen, I'm flying Spirit.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about Spirit.
It's if Allegiant is a Greyhound bus with wings.
Okay.
Spirit is a Razor scooter.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. That was brave of you.
I dated myself.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Listen, I'm going to get on the plane before this episode airs.
Yeah.
So it's not like Spirit's not going to blacklist me.
By the time you're listening to this, Jenny has already lived her worst fear.
I've already been back. Listen, the last time I was on a plane, we had to abort the landing. We caught wind shear. We had to make an emergency landing in Cincinnati. Then we had to come back. The plane got struck by lightning. 4 people threw up because we lost altitude. And it cured my fear of flights.
That's true.
If I can live through that, I can live through Spirit Airlines.
Yes, I believe in you.
Okay.
Okay. All right, let me find my place. If Hamid, the co-pilot, was the one left flying the plane.
Yeah.
He would have gotten some of the effects of the lack of oxygen, which is what they think happened with all of, like, the weird turns, because
he was disoriented confused.
And he's making, like, poor judgment calls.
Yes.
Eventually, he would have died too, leaving the plane on autopilot until it eventually ran out of fuel.
Oh. If that is what actually happened, it does make me feel better to know that people lost consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the theory that the governments are pushing. Because they want the families to...
Nobody's at fault. Just Boeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they want their family... Like, they want the families to know, like, your family didn't suffer. Like, it wasn't, like... They didn't feel the plane crash. They died of lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our last true conspiracy here is a little bit more nefarious. And it is the theory of a murder-suicide.
Ooh.
Probably the most basis in reality, unfortunately. There's the most evidence here.
Oh, no.
Less than a month before the disappearance, Shaw completed a very similar flight at his at-home flight simulator, and he took off from Kuala Lumpur and took a sharp turn over the South China Sea and then turned again towards the South Indian Ocean, where he took the plane down in a simulation. The next day, he did another simulation from Kuala Lumpur, which was scheduled to complete, which he was actually, like, scheduled to complete the day after.
Okay.
In this simulation, he took the plane and crashed it in the South Indian Ocean. There was also a simulation where Shaw took the plane and flew it into the Petronas Towers, which were the tallest towers in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh.
Not good.
Okay.
So he tried to delete these simulations, but it's the internet, kids. Nothing's deletable.
No.
So they found it on a shadow, like,
drive
on his computer.
And this is what, he was having marital problems.
Yes.
Okay.
So remember how I said that the plane did a little bend over Penang?
Yeah.
Okay. Penang was Shaw's hometown. And another pilot weighed in on this, as this seems to be a sticking point for some people. This other pilot said that he would do a very similar maneuver. And while it looks like it's one kind of bend, it's actually three smaller bends.
Okay.
And he said that this is what he would do when he was flying, if they were flying over a, like, a big monument that you could see from space. So, like, the Grand Canyon or Paris.
He would go, like, a little out of his way to fly over it?
Yep. And he would turn the plane so that people could get pictures. And it was like a photo op.
Oh.
And this other pilot said Shaw was getting a last look at his hometown before he was about to commit this act.
Oh, no.
Former British Airways senior Boeing 77 pilot Simon Hardy said someone was looking at at Penang. Someone was taking a long, emotional look at Penang. The captain was from the island of Penang. It does a strange hook. In order to look at Penang, you have to turn left or right, get alongside it, and then execute a long turn. If you look at the output from Malaysian Airline 370, there were actually three turns, not one. Someone was looking at Penang. Some point to this actually being a veteran pilot trying to find a safe place to land if there was a fire or something else causing the plane to land unexpectedly. So somebody's trying to, like, make it make sense a little bit, but that doesn't sound like what it
make
is.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that, and the ghost plane are the two theories that people really look at as the most common.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so.
So,
but, like, still, wouldn't they have found some of the plane?
So if the plane did a nosedive and went 90 degrees into the ocean, it would have been like a torpedo.
Oh.
And it wouldn't have broken apart.
What?
That's the mathematician. He, like, did the simulations. Like, if it comes, like, right at the perfect angle, it just torpedoes to the bottom of the ocean.
Do you think that's why you practice a flight simulation?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But internet sleuths and armchair detectives have been diligently at work on this.
Of course they have.
4 years. like I said, the mathematics professor from Texas A&M University argued that the plane must have entered the sea vertically. Any other angle of entry would have splintered the plane into many pieces, which would have
washed
been
it.
Found.
Yeah.
But by flying directly in, it torpedoes.
Wow.
In September of 2020, UK-based video producer Ian Wilson released information that he believes MH370 crashed in the Cambodian jungle and has the coordinates to prove it on Google Maps.
What?
I got deep into Google Maps.
Okay. Did you find it?
It's there. Like, you can see a plane in the middle of a jungle.
What?
And it's fucking big.
Oh.
Like, it's a big plane.
Okay. Has nobody, like, gone to...
So, the governments are like, that's not it.
No. What? What plane?
No. Right.
So they say, and this is probably pretty likely, it's just very unnerving to get on Google Maps and see a plane in the middle of a jungle. But they say it's a plane flying over the jungle and a satellite just happens to capture an image of the plane flying.
Sure. Sure, Jan.
Sure, Jan. I don't know. It was weird to see, though. And people are freaking assholes. I hate people. But they are, like, tagging the plane as, like, a marketing ploy.
What?
So they are tagging their, like, little mom-and-pop restaurants as the plane.
What?
Yeah, so you can't just get a picture, like, a screenshot of the plane without all these little diners ads popping up.
Oh, for fluff's sake.
Oh, I was so irritated because I was trying to get a good screenshot of it for the Instagram. And yeah. There's just, like, a diner.
Boo.
So I found one that, like, somebody else got, but it would have satisfied a need.
For you for to me. Screenshot it? Yeah. All right.
Whatever. I'll post the one
that Bojangles, mom and pop shop, like, really ruined that for you. Yes. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But it is worth noting, like, we'll post the coordinates. You can look at it yourself. It's there. It's just weird. Conspiracy theorists also say that Nostradamus predicted the disappearance in 1556.
Did he?
In his work, The Prophecies, which says... okay, this doesn't make any sense to me at all, but I understand that this was not written in English originally, so okay. It's some pretty shoddy translations, probably.
Sure.
Near far the failure of the two great luminaries, which will occur between April and March. Oh, what a loss, but two great good-natured ones by land and sea will relieve all parts.
Listen, between April and March...
That's a lot of time.
That's 11 months. He really gave himself a lot of room for error.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't say March to April.
That's true. And this is copy-pasted. I didn't type that wrong.
Did you translate the Latin?
I was like, wait a second, what? I wonder if it means from March to April. I don't know.
Ask Nostradamus.
Let me give him a ring.
Be like, bro, what does... It's word salad, buddy.
Can you imagine? If you could have, like, dinner with, like, three dead people, when people ask me that question, Nostradamus is always, like, on my list. I want to know the things that he knows. Like, was he just, like, a doofus? Like, people think I'm smart, and I'm just going to write a bunch of random shit down and see what happens.
I could see. I want to talk to, like, one of the great, like, Socrates. Da Vinci.
Yeah. See, my...
And I'm going to keep my other option open. Like, I don't want to be tied down to anything.
Listen, that's fine. I just think that my theory that Nostradamus was, like, actually just a ding-dong, like, makes me feel less inferior to him. Because I could not sit down with Da Vinci. I wouldn't know what to say. Mm-mm. Like, he's going to be like, this bitch doesn't even know where Malaysia is.
He didn't know where Malaysia... What? He thought the Earth was the center of the
universe. He didn't know any better.
Do you ever have the daydream of, like, if you ever, like, get sucked through a wormhole and all of a sudden you're, like, plunged back into, like, the 1600s?
All the time.
How do you explain? Or, like, if you just got a buddy from the 1600s that you got to, like, bring with you to now.
Oh, what do you say?
Or, like, how do you explain to them how life is?
I would probably just apologize a lot. I'm sorry that this is how your world turns out.
I would just, like, show them a cell phone and be like, ooh.
Allie and I just watched Timeline.
Okay.
It's one of our favorite movies. We used to watch it in college together all the time.
I've never even heard of it.
It's got Paul Walker in it, which you don't care about.
I don't know who that is.
It's got Gerard Butler in it. I know you know who Gerard Butler is.
Phantom of the Opera?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is about a team of archaeologists that are on a dig site. And in their dig, they find Paul Walker, his character's dad's, like, glasses. Ooh. In the dig site.
What?
And they're like, what the fuck? And they find a note from him. And it's his handwriting. And then they go try to find his dad, and they can't find him. And so they find out that he has been time traveling back to this archaeological site.
Whoa.
And... the whole team has to go and save his dad because the note says, you have to come help me. I've been captured.
And so, by what? And whom? And when?
The French. In, like, 1400.
Of course, the French.
Yeah. So they all have to go back in time and...
save him from the French.
Save this character's dad. It's I love this movie.
Is it a comedy?
Not really. It's okay. More of a drama.
Okay.
There's like comedic moments, which I love a good comedic moment in a drama or in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Would highly recommend if you've never seen Timeline from 2003.
Yikes, we're old.
You should go see it.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that's my conspiracy for you. I'm sorry. We don't know what happened to this plane.
You just gave us like a 13 for one.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I think that was an entire hour.
That's okay.
Greetings. I'm Declassified Dave.
I'm Mystery Mike.
I'm Slick Frank Sanders. Join us on the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour Mondays,
where we look into the dark secrets of the conspiratorial world.
We'll explore the likes of government cover-ups, the existence of otherworldly beings, unexplained phenomena, and cryptids.
We tackle these topics with an open mind, a sense of humor, and dapper drippage.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and listen on all podcast platforms.
My conspiracy is very on par with this, not so much in length,
okay,
but as speaking at in depth about things that I really have
no basis
of education.
I love this for us. Let's learn together, Jenny.
Wild speculation based loosely on fact.
Like, we make fun of internet sleuths, but girl, that's us.
So okay, I'm gonna try really hard.
Okay. Refocus.
I'm gonna try my best.
That's why we should have named this podcast. We're gonna try our best.
Just trying our best.
trying our best to tell you this story.
Okay.
Or what happened was. Do you need to make your font bigger?
No. Okay. I'm just trying to. I really started this by saying Stephen Hawking bet Gordon Cain $100 that physicist would not discover the Higgs boson particle.
What the fuck is that?
I don't have time for the semantics of this right now.
Okay.
So there is...
I need to understand what this particle is before we get into this story.
I will explain it.
Okay.
I will
okay.
explain it.
Cool.
As
I was you better not assume that I know what that is.
Very loosely.
Okay.
I will explain it.
That's all I need.
Stephen Hawking bet Gordon Cain $100, like that's all the money you got, bro, that physicists would not discover the Higgs boson. After losing that bet, when physicists detected the particle in 2012, Hawking lamented the discovery, saying it made physics less interesting.
Oh.
Okay,
Stephen.
I know. Chill, bro. Now, in a preface to a new collection of essays and lectures called Starmus, the famous theoretical physicist is warning that the particle could one day be responsible for the destruction of the known universe.
Oh, shit.
And that is my thesis statement.
I just got chills.
Uh-huh. That was an excerpt from an article published not too long after scientists actually discovered and identified the Higgs boson particle.
When was that? Do you know?
That we found it in 2012.
Oh, okay.
At the tail end of 2012. For the record.
Okay.
Hawking,
I'm very nervous.
Yeah, as you should. Hawking is not the only scientist who thinks so. The story of the Higgs boson doomsday, where a quantum fluctuation creates a vacuum bubble that expands through space and wipes out the universe, has been around for a while. However, scientists don't think it could happen anytime soon.
Okay.
Fermilab theoretical physicist Joseph Flykin said the following during a September 2 lecture at the SETI Institute. Most likely, it would take 10 to 100 years.
That is quite the range.
Hold on. Let me back up. I'm going to restart that over because there's math and I fucked it up.
Okay. All right.
Fermilab theoretical physicist Joseph Flykin said the following during a September 2 lecture at the SETI Institute.
most likely it would take 10 to the 100th power number of years for this to happen.
That's too many numbers. I don't know what that means.
It's a 1 followed by 100 zeros.
Power of years.
Yes.
Okay, that's gibberish to me.
Yeah. So you probably shouldn't sell your house and you should continue to pay your taxes.
Okay, all right. So the world's not ending today.
Mm. On the other hand,
I don't like how you said that.
On the other hand, it may already have happened. And the bubble might be on its way here now. And you won't know because it's going at the speed of light, so there's not going to be any warning. Okay. The Higgs boson is sometimes referred to as the God particle, much to the chagrin of scientists who prefer the official name. Its discovery lends strong support to the standard model of particle physics, which is thought to govern the basic building blocks of matter, including time and space. The Higgs boson particle is important to the standard model because it signals the existence of the Higgs field, an invisible energy field present throughout the universe that imbues other particles with mass. Since its discovery, the particle has been making waves in the physics community. Now that scientists have measured the particle's mass, they can make many other calculations, including one that seems to point to the end of the universe.
Oh my God.
This has all happened.
Okay.
This is not the conspiracy part yet. We are not there yet.
Okay. I feel like my brain is just is trying to take in this information and it's like taking words and be like, don't know what that means. Throw it out. Don't know what that means. Throw it out.
So basically what happened is a lot of theoretical physicists have postulated the existence of the Higgs boson particle because it is, if you think of it like an algebra problem, its existence is proven by the way we think that time and space works. We never knew how it worked or why it worked, or we just knew that it did work. And all of the laws that we know point to the existence of this one thing.
Okay.
So there's a Large Hadron Collider. Have you heard of that? It's in Sweden.
Zero.
It is a giant, incredibly giant machine.
Okay.
That they used to discover this.
Oh, okay.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm dumb.
It's this took me an entire week and a half to write.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
Thank you for taking this on.
Listen.
I would have seen these words and been like, never mind.
The conspiracy is worth it.
Okay. All right.
Because we're not at the conspiracy yet.
We're still at facts.
We're heavy in facts right
okay,
now.
Okay. Let me know when we get out of the facts.
Oh, you'll know.
Okay. All right. Great.
They did all of this amazing science stuff with the help of the, spoiler alert, Large Hadron Collider, or LDC.
Okay.
And it does other cool stuff too, like make tiny black holes.
This machine does?
This machine. The LHC will not generate black holes in the cosmological sense. However, some theories suggest that the formation of tiny quantum black holes is possible. The observation of such an event would be thrilling in terms of our understanding of the universe and would be perfectly safe. Or so they want you to think. In fact, they might have already accidentally done it.
Uh-oh.
And in fact, might have thrown us onto an alternate timeline.
Don't you just think of scientists being like accidentally doing stuff? Like that's always the image that I have. It's like a bumbling scientist who's like so deep into his research and he's like accidentally like created a thing and he's like, oh shit.
I think of scientists as Dexter from Dexter's Lab.
Did not mean to. Oh, that's a good one.
I
truly think that my idea of scientists came from the movie Timeline because I watched it when I was like 13.
Okay, that's fair.
And they are bumbling. And one of them is the guy that plays Remus Lupin in Harry Potter.
Oh, I love that. I could see him cast as a scientist.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Okay. So they might have accidentally made a black hole. And they might have accidentally thrown us into an alternate timeline. And to understand that, we're going to have to loosely try to understand black holes. Okay.
Okay.
A black hole is, we're doing a quick spiral.
Okay.
A black hole is a vacuum solution to general relativity. In other words, a black hole is just mass without a thing to be massive.
Okay.
So if you think of mass as weight or stuff, Yeah. It is all of that without a thing being there to cause the weight or cause the stuff. The mass, then, is collapsed into the center of the black hole, called a singularity, and is surrounded by what is called an event horizon.
Okay.
So if you can see a picture, quote unquote, a picture of a black hole from space, where the black hole is, where all light disappears and it's just black, that is the event horizon.
Oh, okay.
And in the middle of the black hole.
That we can't see
because all the light is gone. The mass is so huge that it crushes the light. Light cannot exist. It gets sucked in.
I don't like the idea that we can crush light. I don't like it.
I don't.
It gives me the heebs.
We can't. A black hole can't.
See, a black hole, to me, truly, honestly, in my heart and soul, I thought was fake. I thought was just, like, sci-fi channel shit until, like, 10 years ago.
We didn't really know what a black hole was. We just postulated about it. But now we have a lot better sense of an idea because we proved the existence of the Higgs boson particle.
Okay. I see. Kind of.
Kind of. So, the mass that the center of the black hole is the singularity.
Okay. Yeah.
A black hole. If you pass over the event horizon where all the light disappears,
yeah.
Every path you can take will lead you to the singularity. In this sense, the singularity is more like a point in time than a point in space.
Okay. All right.
You can't see the singularity because it is always in the future. It is all because it's
a point in time, not in space.
It's a point in time and not a point in space.
So we should be able to take that point and go to the future. No. Okay.
If you could survive the crushing mass of the black hole, then yes.
If you were invincible, you could go to the future.
If you were invincible, you could technically go to the future.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
As much sense as it's going to make in this given time.
And well, I don't. We listen.
I'm not trying to understand physics.
Didn't prepare me to teach the foundation.
No, we went to neurology school, Jenny. We didn't go to physics school.
Well, what do you think I did with my weekends, Taylor?
That's true.
Okay. There is no thing
at
the singularity. There's no protons, neutrons, electrons, Higgs bosons, light, nothing can exist in the singularity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is formed that will find themselves at the singularity will cease to exist.
Got it. So that's why we can't go to the future.
Because nothing exists. You cannot see past it. Because technically, it's in the future.
It's game over.
Yes. So, black holes are very, very weird. They cannot be easily understood in the terms of that analogy. They are understood in terms of Einstein's mathematical theory of general relativity. So, here's the deal. When they found Higgs boson, which is basically like the jelly that exists inside of a black hole donut.
Yeah.
It is theorized that when they separated the atoms to find the Higgs boson particle, they accidentally created a black hole because it's the mass collapse of.
Okay. Yeah.
So when they did that, they made a tiny black hole. And because the donut has to have jelly inside of it for the black hole to exist. Okay. So when they did that, which was in the summer of 2012, when the Mayans said we were all going to die.
Yep.
Our reality of where we are living in that timeline, when they found it and accidentally made the black hole, our current timeline became the singularity. Because at the center of the black hole is a singularity. The singularity cannot exist because it is the future.
Okay. Yeah.
At the singularity, we were broken down into quintillions of the atoms that stitch together our reality, and we became the future. And because time is relative in space, so the current timeline that you and I are sitting in right now became the which is now our past, right?
Yeah.
That exact moment became the future because the singularity is a point in time, not a point in space. Therefore, time itself became a paradox, and the universe's way to right that wrong was to slingshot us over to a brand new timeline. And that is the conspiracy.
So we're not living in the timeline we were living in at the beginning of 2012. We're living in a new timeline.
Yes.
Because of the morning, Higgs boson.
Because when they found the Higgs boson particle, they accidentally created a black hole. Uh-huh. And that slingshotted us. The only way for the universe to right that wrong, because we became two points in time at once, the two cannot exist together.
So it just chose one.
So it kicked us over to a different timeline.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
I am on my way.
Okay.
I'm as with you as I'm going to get. I'm still stuck at like a Higgs boson kind of a thing, but that's okay.
I wasn't trying to put all of my time into that because I don't have the education and the internet does not have the ability to teach me the education to thoroughly, whatever.
It's mind-boggling to me in a good way that there are people out there that their brain works this way. Because my brain does not work this way. Like, there's so many blocks in my head that every time, like, I try to think about it, it just says no. Like, this is not your capability.
No, I struggle with subtraction. I can't.
Right. But, like, we're good at other things that, like, maybe these people aren't.
Right.
But, like, that is, it's mind-boggling to me that humans are designed to have such different brains.
What I love about that is that the people who understand or like put together the thoughts that I just regurgitated on this podcast, that other people who don't have that ability have like higher emotional intelligence and are more naturally like empathetic or have a better grasp on like language and mm-hmm. communication. And it's whatever.
Do you think the universe did that on purpose?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, I do.
Like, you can have all this knowledge, but you can't communicate it to the people who could communicate it to the world.
Yeah. It's like the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This just got way deeper than the intention of our podcast.
Woo! And so,
thanks for coming along with us on this journey.
Here is the evidence.
Yes, please.
That we are living in an alternate timeline in no particular order.
Like, I've never seen my neighbor bring in their groceries.
Right.
Simulation.
They don't exist.
That's a whole different conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
I started to, like, go down that rabbit hole, and I was like, that deserves its own episode.
Okay.
I will cover that.
Okay, excellent. That's not on my list for 2021, so.
No. So, here's the evidence.
I'm so excited for evidence.
Number one.
Yeah.
Weird news.
Okay.
Some have proposed that recent unlikelihoods, including Donald Trump's election, Brexit, the 2017 Oscars envelope mix-up, that the year's 25-point Super Bowl comeback are evidence that we're in a different timeline, as our previous reality would reason that all of these things are largely unlikely and unusual. They strike us as more peculiar than they would if we were living in our original reality. So, like, the timeline that we're on now,
mm-hmm.
weird, crazy mix-up shit like that has been happening forever. But because we're split onto a different timeline, things like this...
We notice it.
Yes. Strike us as more peculiar because they're outliers on the way that our timeline worked in reality.
Okay.
Okay? Number two, the Trump theory.
I love a good Trump theory.
Woo! In Trump's case, conspiracy theorists have cited evidence, like his quote on terrorist attacks on Sweden, assertions that Muslims were cheering in the streets after 9/11, both events which they believe stem from memories of a parallel universe Trump used to reside in. A shift could also explain a rash of unprecedented outcomes in sports, like the Chicago Cubs winning their first World Series since 1908, Donald Trump's election to the presidency, despite most polls predicting Hillary Clinton was going to win, et cetera, et cetera.
And I would imagine maybe, like, I watched interviews of Donald Trump from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he is
totally
wildly different. Like, nobody come at me for this, but if the same Donald Trump from 1990s would have run for president, I could have seen myself voting for him.
Yes.
Not the crazy, insane blimp of a person that we had for a president.
Mm-mm.
Had past tense. But
this is the new year. He's currently still our president in, like, the real time.
Yeah, for another 19 days.
Yeah.
But I think that could be a point to we are living in a different timeline. Is that something you're going to talk about? Sorry.
No, I'm so glad you said it because this brings me to my third and final point.
Great.
And this is the core of this conspiracy, the Mandela Effect.
Oh, shit!
My personal favorite. There's a train of thought that the Mandela Effect is caused by us branching into an alternate timeline, and masses of people are recollecting things from the prior timeline that we were in. So I'm going to run through a list of the most popular ones and see if you, Taylor, remembers the old timeline or our current timeline.
I'm so excited. Okay. I love, like, I'm so glad that you're doing this because I think this part of the Mandela Effect is really interesting, like what who remembers what, but I'm not interested in the science or anything behind it, so I'm very glad that you're doing it and not me. But I'm very excited to hear about it.
I'm excited to see what you, because there were some, Ian and I were just talking about this a couple days ago, and we were running through it, and I was like, I don't remember that, and he was like, I remember that so vividly. And vice versa.
Okay, hit me with it.
Taylor, yes. You remember when Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 90s?
I know that the answer should be yes, but the answer is no.
I remember when he died in prison in the 90s. I remember learning about it in school.
Okay.
I remember the whole thing, but
no, I know many people do, but I don't remember it.
I do. I'm one of the ones that fall into that category where I
vividly remember.
Yes.
I remember thinking that he was dead, but I think I confused him with someone else.
That could be. And there's an example of this, that later. But if you do remember him dying in the 90s, no, you don't, because he died December 5th, 2013.
Whoop.
Do you remember Jiffy Peanut Butter?
Yes.
No, you don't. It has always been Jif. It has always been Jif.
What am I thinking of then?
It didn't exist. You're thinking of our old timeline before science made a black hole in Sweden.
I can picture the
logo?
The logo.
Uh-huh. No, you don't. Your brain made it up.
Okay.
Do you remember a movie in the 90s?
Shazam!
Who starred in it?
Will Smith?
Nope. Sinbad.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Do you remember Shazam?
I do remember. It's fake, right?
It didn't exist.
It didn't exist.
Did not exist.
Fucking weird.
And so, okay, this one is a little convoluted.
See, I've gone through, like, the listicles of this before. Uh-huh. So, like, I think I know most of the answers that are like, this was fake.
Yeah.
But, like, I do remember that.
So this is an example of one that could be a little confusing. So if you Google Sinbad in Shazam, it's either posted on College Humor or is like an SNL skit where they got Sinbad to come on and dress up as a genie and they filled in, they pretend like it was the 90s because it was such a wide phenomenon that so many people remembered Sinbad starring in a movie where he was a genie called Shazam. Now, there was an actual movie called Kazam.
Okay.
Where Shaq starred as a genie.
Okay, I think that could be it.
That could be a thing.
Like, I don't remember it well enough to tell you anything about the movie.
But there are so many. I remember, but in my brain, I remember it being animated. And I remember it was a preview to one of the other VHS tapes that I watched all the time.
Oh, okay.
I know that there was a scene where he was flying around a pirate ship. Anyway.
Huh. Okay.
So that one could be a little confusing Shazam with Kazam.
Yeah. Close.
Yes. Close. But now that they made like a spoof of so many people remembering this movie that it got like even more convoluted because if you Google it, you could find something and be like, look, it exists. But no, you don't. Okay. Do you remember the show with four women in New York who talk about sex and there were like two movie spinoffs and Carrie Bradshaw was in love with shoes and an asshole dude named Big?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that show?
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City, not and the city.
Yes.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the city. A lot of people, sex and the city. This one blew my mind because I always thought it was Sex in the City and the city.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
I had all of those VHS. Like, I had, not the VHS. I had all the DVDs.
Did you?
Yeah.
I like that show.
I was obsessed with that show.
Do you remember the brand of underwear?
Yes.
Called Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah.
Can you describe their logo to me?
I can describe what I think the logo
is. Okay, what do you think the logo is?
It's a cornucopia.
It's not.
I know it's not, but that's what it is in my head.
I know it's what it is in my head, too.
Like, it's got the little basket with all the fruit falling out of it. You can't convince me it's not.
It doesn't. It's always just been, like, grapes and a banana and apples. It has never had a cornucopia.
The basket.
Nope. Nay. Fruit, error, 101, no cornucopia is found.
Sus.
Do you remember the childhood books about a family of bears and a brother and sister would always get into trouble?
Yeah.
What was it called?
The Bernstein Bears?
The Bernstein Bears is actually the Bernstein Bears.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's the one I see the most often.
Yeah.
But like,
I remember the Bernstein Bears. I thought it was like hard E-I.
Yeah.
Not A-I. N.
See, okay, the thing that I can blame that on is I was reading those books at a time that I was learning how to read.
Okay.
And actually, now that I'm saying that, that doesn't make sense, because if I was learning how to read, I would have been focused on each
letter.
Never mind. Throwing it out. I don't know why. I know it as Bernstein Bears. Stain. I don't know.
Okay. This is my last example. Taylor.
Yes.
Quote the most famous line from the Star Wars movies. You know, it's the one where, like, the big asthmatic robot guy talks to Luke Skywalker and he says,
oh, Luke, I am your father.
That line was never spoken. That line was never spoken. The actor remembers the line. The cast members remember the line. You do. I do. Everybody. It's been quoted.
I can, like, picture it. Mm-hmm. I can picture it in the film.
Never spoken. And if you go back and rewatch it,
it's not there.
The actual script reads, no, I am your father.
Somebody fucked up the timeline.
So, I rest my case. Scientists created a baby black hole that split time and caused a ripple in reality that caused millions of people to misremember the way that things are. The end. Good night.
One that I don't know if it's a Mandela effect, and I think Em and Christine talked about this on That's Why We Drink, but what is chartreuse?
It's green.
I think it's magenta.
A lot of people do.
And I think that's part of this.
Do you think?
Mandela effect.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people think it's magenta or a pink.
There's another example of that for color. What color do you think vermilion is?
Blue. No?
It's red.
What?
I thought vermilion was a shade of green for a long time. And there's a lot of other people who think vermilion is green and chartreuse is not. Chartreuse is like an ugly neon lime green. It's like pea green.
Like, to me, it's like a deep, like, purplish red.
Mm-mm. Vermilion is like crimson.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Is that wild?
Huh. Weird.
Super weird. So there you have it.
What a fascinating episode.
Maybe in the original timeline, that flight didn't go missing.
Yeah, maybe that's... You should have gone first.
I know.
Because maybe we can explain all this away.
We're adding
with
another
a black
conspiracy.
Hole.
We're about to become an original conspiracy podcast.
Yes. Just making shit up on the fly.
I love it. I said my bright and shiny earlier. Do you have a bright and shiny?
I do. Today, I had a really fantastic iced coffee from Starbucks.
I love that. What was it?
It was a iced vanilla latte.
Okay.
But instead of the 6 pumps of vanilla.
God, that's a lot of vanilla.
In a venti, that's like normal.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have them substitute 3 sugar-free vanilla pumps with 3 toffee nut pumps.
I have been such a little simp for toffee lately.
Yum.
I can't
it's
get enough.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But the caveat with that is that I have now created an intense amount of caffeine that I need on a daily basis, because that has 3 shots of espresso in it. And so if I have my normal 2 cups of coffee a day, and then I, like, look at a Starbucks and I'm like, I need that venti vanilla latte.
Are you like...
No, I'm just normal.
Oh.
And then I wake up the next day if I don't have all of this coffee with a giant headache.
What? You can try to, like, wean yourself. I do this to myself sometimes when I feel my caffeine tolerance, like, creeping up there too far. I will start downsizing to a grande.
Okay.
And then supplement with, like, a cup of coffee that I brew at home.
Uh-huh.
And then you can, like, weed them out a little bit.
I should do that because I, like, woke up this morning with a really bad headache and I was like, what is it? And I was like, oh, you only had one cup of coffee yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Stupid. Boom. But it was a really good cup of coffee.
These are very 30-year-old problems that we have.
Yeah.
Tell us about your 30-year-old problems. Email them to us at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. Send us your ooky spooky tales or anything weird. You committed a crime. You got a conspiracy. You think you know what happened to the flight. Email us. Let us know.
Let us know what Mandela effect you know of. That's yeah. got you twisted up inside.
What color do you think chartreuse is?
Right.
Send us a screenshot of like a Pantene color of the year.
Yes. And go follow us. Did you already say that?
Yeah. Follow us on the shows me. Whoa.
Shush meet.
Shush me. Follow us on the shush meets. And be kind to yourself.
And one another. Goodbye.